All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, March 11th of 2024 here. Looking ahead, we have a six-game NBA main slate as well as a four-game NHL slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I am one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team here. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. We do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then on Saturdays, we do this show at 11 a.m. Eastern. So with that said, we are going to jump right in here, going to get the app pulled up. And it looks like our first question came in from Jason on Saturday here. Looks like a bankroll question. We were talking like some bankroll strategy and stuff on Saturday, so it seems like this is a follow-up to that. So Jason asked, is this reasonable bankroll management for a Saturday or too aggressive? 14% of bankroll in play spread out over seven sports, 20 slates, and 400 unique lineups. So I think an easy way to think about this is that, you know, our DFS profit plan, which is our contest selection framework that we recommend that our users follow, says, you know, play 2.5 to 5% of your bankroll on any uncorrelated slate, right? So if you're playing NBA and you're playing NHL, you can play 2.5 to 5% on both of those and, you know, still be following the profit plan. So if you're playing 14% of your bankroll across seven sports, you just do the math, and that means that on average, you're playing about 2% of your bankroll per sport that day. So in that case, I think it's totally fine, right? I mean, you're playing a little less, and I think that's okay. You know, if your overall bankroll percentage is higher and you're like, you know what, this is just a lot of my bankroll in general, I'd rather just dial it down like a little bit and just play closer to 2% than even 2.5%. I think that's fine. So do I think it's reasonable bankroll management? The simple answer is yes. I think that's totally fine. I think that, you know, you're spreading it out well enough here that you shouldn't have to worry. All right. Good question to get us started. Next question here says, what is a good Saber score? To get diversity, I am also getting lineups in the 400s out of 1500s with Saber scores in the 80. I also noticed some more scores in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Okay, so let's talk about Saber score, right? So I have this build where I ran some lineups right before we got started here. So there's not like a quote-unquote good Saber score number, right? Saber score is going to be relative to the build that you're looking at. So the easiest thing to do is just sort by Saber score descending, which is this arrow here. As long as it's pointing down, which it's pointing down by default, it's going to give you the highest Saber score lineup first. So that'd be 101.3. So, you know, this should be like your measuring stick. And when you're using Saber score, it's a little harder to tell how far down in your pool you should go. So in my opinion, what I like to say is, you know, try and stay in within the top 25 to 50% of your pool. So if we just do that, right, we go here and we have 5,000 lineups. So let's say I go down to lineup, you know, 2,500 here. And let's just go and see what the Saber score is. So I'm going to adjust my number of lineups, scroll all the way to the bottom. And I'm seeing a Saber score, you know, in like the 97 range here, right? So I think that, you know, I'm not saying 97 is like the right number, like you shouldn't go past that. But I think that, you know, just understand how many lineups you have in your pool. It sounds like you said you had 1,500. So I would probably try and stay in the top 750 lineups and, you know, see if you could do something like that. Now, if your min-max exposures or anything that you're doing is causing you to go further than that, well, what I would do is I would make sure to set all your min-max exposures, and then I would probably rebuild my lineups. So if you're doing a lot of tinkering after the build is generated, it's causing you to play lineups that are lower down in your pool, just come in here, rebuild a set of lineups with those inputs, and SaberSim will take those things into account. You can even give your players like a little bit of a boost here, right? So, you know, if you're setting a min exposure to Davis Burton's, and, you know, maybe he's just like not grading out well. Maybe the sim doesn't really like him. You know, just come in here and just give him like a half to 1 point increase, because you're basically saying like, hey, I think this player is going to do better than his projection, and then that might lead to you getting some overall better Saber score lineups here. But that's the way that I would look at the question. All right. Next one here. Question says, when you're doing late swap, what is swaps per lineup mean? It defaults to 10. What would changing it do? Okay, good question. Looks like GM33 jumped in here and helped me out. So, but I'm happy to cover it anyways here. So let's go to a slate that I have an entries file for. Let me get this loaded up. So you can only late swap if you have an entries file loaded. Okay, so boom, entries file. So let's say I go to do a late swap, right? And I'm going to open up a swap build here. So then when I go to my settings inside of my swap build, I'm going to see this new setting called swaps per lineup. So what is happening here is the builder is looking at how many lineups you have in your CSV, and then that number goes into number of lineups here. So if I had 54 lineups for my 54 entries, my number of lineups would be 54. And you know what? Maybe we'll just do that real quick. So let's go to my build one here. Build a few lineups. Let's build 500. Let's kick that off. And then let's go and we're going to close this swap build and I'll just redo it here. So this is like a good end-to-end process. Like if anybody's, you know, very, very new to Saber Sim, like, hey, come in here, make two adjustments to projections. You know, you load in your CSV, you run your lineups, you change the My Lineups box to however many entries you have, because we recommend putting a unique lineup into each entry. And then once you're happy with this, you go to Save to My Contests. I would use one of the unique options, unique rank or unique random here. That way all of your lineups get used. Click Save to My Contest, download those entries files, and then you would upload the entry file to the fantasy site. So from here, right? So now when I go to my contest tab, okay, all of these have a source, right? All build one. So now when I go to late swap here, I go to the double-sided arrows. I say I want to late swap these five contests. And then I go to my settings here. Well, look, now the number of lineups is 54 because I put 54 entries into my CSV. So SaberSim says, hey, there's 54 unique lineups in here. So that's going to be our number of lineups. And then swaps per lineup. What it's doing is it's taking each lineup that you have, and then it's saying, hey, I'm going to rebuild each lineup 10 times. And I'm going to give you 10 new versions of that original lineup, so you have some optionality when you get into the post build. So you notice like pool size is grayed out here because pool size is just a calculation. It's number of lineups times swaps per lineup equals your pool size. So you can't change your pool size, but you can change it by changing your swaps per lineup. So that's what it's doing. It's telling you how many times you are rebuilding each original lineup. People ask me like what a good number to set this to is. You know, I would just, you know, I would say like you probably never need more than like 50. And the only reason I say that is just because like you know, if you're on the ultimate plan or pro, like your pool size can go up to 5,000, right? So we could max this out. Like say I put 50 in here, you know, I could max this out to 92, right? But let's say you have five lineups. Like, should you really max it out? You know, do you need 1,000 versions of each lineup? So typically I think 50 is like more than enough. You know, if you're playing 150 lineups, the most swaps per lineup you can get to is 33. So it's like, nobody cares when it's like 33 out of 150, but if you're playing, you know, less, then, you know, why am I not getting, you know, 1,000? So I think it's like a little silly. So I just leave this at like 50 max here. I think 50 versions of each original is more than enough, but that is what the swaps per lineup is doing. So hopefully that clarifies any question that you had or anybody else had here. All right. Studentwood asked a question. I did respond here. in Discord, because this one's like a little tricky, because you're saying like you have a CSV with actual scores and I don't have that CSV. So it gets a little tricky for me to kind of show that on stream here. But if you have any follow-up questions to the instructions I provided, just hit me back in Discord and I'll be able to help you out. All right. Question from James. James said, when running a late swap in NBA, do you only late swap once or do you continuously late swap, creating multiple different late swap panels, or just do you just late swap once and refresh and do the contest simulation before each one? What is recommended as best practice? Thank you. Okay, so let's go back to this swap build here. Good question. So really he's asking like, hey, if I run a late swap and then, you know, the games lock, do I need to go in and open up a new swap window and one that says swap two and then swap three and then swap four? Or can I stay in this one build the entire time? And the answer is that you can stay in this build the entire time. So let's say that, you know, you do a late swap and then the next set of games lock. All you need to do is come into the swap window and refresh the projections. And then when you do that, SaberSim will understand what time it is. And if any new games have locked, those players will get grayed out. So however many late swaps you plan on having, however many late swap builds you plan on using the entire night, you only need to set them up one time. And then you can come in here and you can use them over and over again. So that's the first thing there. Second part of the question was, hey, you know, should I keep late swapping throughout the night? And if you're on the ultimate plan, then yes, you should. If you're on like the standard, advanced, or pro plans, then you should only late swap if there is significant projection news, and you're going to be able to tell if there are significant projection changes by being in the NBA lineup alert channel in Discord. So it'll tell you like, hey, you know, so-and-so move plus or minus 2 points, which is like our threshold. And if nobody moved by that much, then it'll say no significant projection changes. So then I wouldn't late swap. If it does say that somebody moved plus or minus two, it'll summarize that information like, oh, Luka moved from 67 to 70, right? That's 3 points. It'll summarize that info. So when you see that on the standard, pro, and advanced plans, I would late swap. If you don't see that, you don't need the late swap. If you're on the ultimate plan, you have access to the live projections where we are taking in the box scores and we are projecting the rest of the game. So in order to, you know, continue to run more and more accurate contest sims as the night goes on, I would continue to late swap throughout the night at each swap window and take advantage of those live projections. All right. Good questions so far. And looks like next question here is from Sam. Question says, I watched a video on research builds, but still unsure of how to use the information. Can you give an example with the upcoming NHL slate? Yeah, so research builds are like a concept that we used to use kind of a lot here. And it's really a way to just see, to take single slate samples of the build and see how players do and compare their exposures to their ownership. So what I would do is I would go to the slate for today. You know, I'd make my two adjustments, two projections, just minimal impact here. And then what I would do is I would go to my settings and then I would set, well, I'm going to set min salary to zero. So there's no constraint here. I'm going to set correlation to zero. I'm going to set sim diversity to 10. So at sim diversity 10, what you are doing is you are taking a single game sim from each game on the slate. We are putting those game sims together to create a single slate simulation. And then we're playing that out and we're building the optimal lineup. And we're doing that, you know, how for however big your pool size is. So we're going to do that same process 500 times here. And what this will tell you at the end here is you can go and you can compare your pool exposure to the ownership and then basically look at the leverages that players are showing up at and then use that as like a proxy for how often so-and-so player is in the optimal lineup. Like what is their optimal rate? So what I would do is run the build. I would change the number of lineups to the entire size of the pool. So I'm going to look at all 500 lineups here. And then what I'm going to do is come in here and sort by leverage. And then what we're saying is like, hey, you know, these players that are positive leverage are showing up in these optimal research builds that we're running at a higher frequency than people are playing them, which is their projected ownership, right? So Bo Horvat, he's coming up about 14% of the time, and we're only expecting the field to roster this player like 2%. So like, these would be players that their optimal rate is higher than their projected ownership. So like, that is the premise of a research build, to like find some of these outlier players who maybe don't come up as often when you look at their average projection, but when you're taking these single slate simulations, they come up more often. So that tells you that they might have higher upside than the field is giving them credit for. All right. That gets us through the questions in Discord. Jumping over to the YouTube chat. Question here: do I have to late swap resim for all different contests, or just one if I'm playing single entry and 20 max and 150, which I put different sim metrics, of course, pre-lock? Okay. So let's go back to our swap build here. So this gets a little tricky. Now, if you are, you know, pre-slate here, if you have, you know, multiple contest sims set up, right? So like, say I come here and like, you know, I have some contest sims for like one contest, some contest sims for two contests, maybe even three, right? So I'll run like three contest sims. So I set up three contest sims here. I go into my settings, I go to my contest sim settings, I have all three set up. Now, let's say that, you know, you are following the process of, hey, I want to, you know, run all my contest sims. I want to fill one contest, trash those lineups, fill the next contest, trash those lineups, and so on and so forth, right? And we'll describe that here. So this is like a perfect world if you have a lot of time to do this. You know, this is like the best thing that you could do is use each individual contest sims. So sometimes there could be a time constraint in sports like NBA, but in other sports like golf and, you know, NASCAR and MMA and things like that, you're going to have more time to do this. So what I would do is run my three contest sims. I'm going to go and sort by the first contest that I want to use, which is typically just going to go off prize pool here. So I have 20 lineups in this $1 20 max. When I'm happy with the lineups, I'm going to go to save to my contests. I'm going to uncheck all the contests except the one I want to fill. And then I'm going to save. So then now the timestamp gets updated. I know that the new lineups are in there. Then what I would do is come in here and trash these 20 lineups using the trash icon here. And that's just so they don't get reused, right? So SaberSim is going to trash those 20. It's going to fill my lineups with a new set of 20. Well, then what I could do now is go and do contest sim number two and then get 20 new lineups. I'm going to trash these 20. And then it looks like for this next one, I think it's just a single entry here. So then now I just need one lineup. Let's assume I've done all of them now. So then I'm going to download these and then I would upload them, right? So like, that's the process that you would follow if you wanted to use an individual contest sim for each contest that you're playing, which I would recommend doing if you have enough time to do that. Well, let's say that now you want a late swap, right? Well, if you late swap them all together, you're only going to be able to use a single contest sim. So if you want to use an individual contest sim the same way we did pre-slate, you're going to have to open up multiple swap windows. So what I would do is click the arrow, uncheck all the contests, only check one of the contests, and then say, hey, I'm going to late swap this contest here. And then that would be my swap two. And honestly, I'd probably just go and rename it. Like, I would right click on the build and then I would rename. And then I would say, you know, $1 20 max. And then the good thing about doing it this way is that, remember, like we said earlier, you could use the same swap window over and over. So like, hey, this is my build for my $1 20 max swaps for the entire night. So like, even like as soon as the slate locks today, you could set this up even if you're not even ready to late swap. So you come in here, you know, you come in, you set all your late swaps up. So hey, I'm my $1 20 And then, you know, next, and then my next build here is going to be like my quarter 20. Another thing that you could do is say you don't want to do all of your contests. You know, maybe you just want to put them in categories. You're like, hey, you know what? I'm actually okay doing the 20 maxes together and then doing my other builds together as well. Well, then, hey, I could do two swaps, right? I could put these two 20 maxes together, say, hey, I'm going to late swap these two. And then when I come into my settings and I go to my build settings, look, I have 40 lineups, right? So you don't always have to do each contest individually. You could basically create groups of contests and say like, hey, these are my 20 maxes. Hey, these are my single entries. Hey, these are my satellites, or however you want to do it, right? So you can come in here as soon as the slate locks, set these up, and then be ready to go when your late swap time comes. And then when that late swap time comes, you can kick off a build for all of these at once. So you could kick off, you know, four late swap builds within a slate at the same time. So there's no limit on late swaps because we know how important those are to get in. All right. Hope that helps out. I think that's super important to just be fast and efficient during late swap here. So I think that should help you out. All right. Next question. How should we use SaberScore? What is small versus large? So we did talk a lot about SaberScore at the beginning here. I will talk about some of these metrics. So the way that we break down SaberScore is into small, single game, small slate, and large slate. So single game is like any type of like showdown or just any slate where there's like a single game on the slate, right? Captain showdowns, NBA showdowns, NFL showdowns, thing like that. Small slate is any classic slate that is 2 to 5 games. Large slate is any slate that is 6 games or more. So the important thing here is that what's happening is SaberSim understands how many games are on the slate. And then what it does is it looks at your build settings. So, you know, we always say it's important to set up your build settings. So whatever you put in this entrance column is what SaberScore is going to default to. So if you say, hey, you know, I'm building for a 10 to 50K entrance contest, well, then your SaberScore is going to say, okay, how many games are on the slate? Okay, there's 2. Great, let's go small slate and let's go 10 to 50K. So that is how your SaberScore is being chosen. All right, question from James. Using the advanced stacks and set it so you don't have guys on your team shooting against your goalie, that's where I found the most success. So it looks like we're talking about NHL strategy. You know, that is one of the default rules here that you can toggle on. So we have like certain rules for like certain sports. So like MMA is like, don't use two opposing fighters against each other. NFL has like, don't use players against an opposing defense. And then, you know, NHL has the default, don't use skaters against opposing goalies. So we won't turn this on by default for you. However, we do have the rule here since it's such like a prominent rule. And then all you have to do is just come in here and check it. And then that rule will be active for you. So we think it's like a good useful rule, you know, generally makes sense, but we don't toggle it on for you. All right. Follow up here from Sam in regards to our research build question. Sam said, now that you've identified those players with potential leverage, how do you translate that to the lines you are actually going to play? So honestly, you know, what I would probably do here is just like make some notes of some of these guys where I think that it's worth it here. And it looks like there was just like a projection update recently here and their ownerships have gone up a little bit. So, you know, that tells me like, hey, you know, maybe we were looking at it before the ownership came in. But, you know, sometimes you don't always want to act on the information, right? Maybe the information just like isn't big enough. Like if I'm seeing, you know, Matthew Barzal here and we have, you know, 4% leverage, like that doesn't mean I'm just going to start jamming him in just because there are like these small leverages here. So, you know, when I used to use this strategy very often, I would be looking for players in like the 5 to 10% range or above for like positive leverage and make note like, right? Like, okay, you know, hey, both of these guys are on the Islanders and they're both on power play one. You know, maybe I just want to make sure I get to some Islanders power play one stacks, right? So I think that's a good way to use it. Just helping you to identify, you know, somewhere where you may just want to make sure that you have exposure, right? And then you can inversely sort too. And just be like, hey, you know, what are some of like the worst players or like lines or things that I might want to stay away from? And I would be focusing on probably this like minus, 7% and above range here, where it looks like, okay, maybe like stay away, maybe manage my exposure to like the Kings power play one, maybe be a little bit careful with Boston power play one or the Rangers, right? But like just kind of making some notes. And like, I'm not saying you should take this information and just full fade the teams, but take a second in your post build analysis when correlation is involved, when, stacking comes into play, and like see how this build compares to your actual build. And like, what if you run your build and now you're seeing a ton of Kings power play one? It's like, well, I was just looking at it in the last build and, the builder didn't like it that much. Maybe I just want to like manage my exposure to this situation and then maybe just dial back your leverage a little bit. Right. So I think it just brings into play this opportunity to have like some checks and balances in your process and just gives you like another data point to use when going through that risk management step of your process. Because we always say like, that's like one of the most important things you can do as a user is, look at your portfolio and make sure you're comfortable with everything that you're seeing, taking a stand on and taking a stand against. So like, those are some of the things that I would recommend, taking away from that analysis. But all right, looks like we are all caught up with questions here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys all tuning in and hanging out with me, asking questions and hearing what everybody has to say. Looks like we have one more here. How to do a 4-3 and 3-3 stacks only. What I would do is just go to my stack exposures. And, well, you can do this two ways, right? So you can go to your stack exposures. You can uncheck all these stacks. And then you can go 4-3 and 3-3 only. The bad part about doing this is that unchecking stack types isn't exactly a rule. You're not telling the builder, hey, I only want to play 4-3s and 3-3s. What you're doing is saying, like, how do I say this? You're not telling the builder to build 3-3s and 4-3s. You're telling the builder to only keep 4-3s and 3-3s. So it's a little bit of a nuance there. And the difference is that the builder can still build 5-2s. The builder can still build 2-2-2-2. But whenever it does, it's just going to trash those lineups. So it's going to build it, get rid of it, build it, get rid of it until it finds one that matches what you're saying, and then it'll put it into the build. So what happens sometimes is that if what you've selected is different than what the builder is generating, the build can time out before filling out the pool. So sometimes what's better to do is just, if you know, hey, I want to play 3-3s and 4-3s, I would just go set up two stacking rules. And I would say stack one, at least three. You could set up, must be on the same, even strength or power play or however you want to do it, right? And then if you set up a second one as well that says the same thing, then the builder's going to have to meet this rule twice. So then now what you've said is, hey, stack at least is important here because that allows for four. You're saying stack at least three players two different times. So then now you're going to get 4-3s and 3-3s. So hope that helps out. Try that out. But looks like we're all caught up here, everybody. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.